Good. Good day. I'm hoping you're having, I hope you're having a really great time of holidays, restful time, and so glad that you are taking the opportunity to be refreshed by the Lord. We're going to be having a series of teachings that just encourage you in your faith, but more than just learning, we're going to learn, but we really want you to experience God, experience Him this week. The Lord is here to speak to us, but to touch your life, to heal us, to encourage us. And so we have a lot of people praying for all of you and all of us. And so we want to invite you into that expectancy to see God just move in our hearts by the power of His Holy Spirit. That's what we want, right? We want more of Him and be refreshed by Him. So I'm going to share in this opening session, it's like a New Year's message, something to bring us into this new year. And I want to talk about biblical courage as we go into 2019. A lot of people struggle with different kinds of fears, and certainly it was mentioned that we live in kind of a crazy world. Things seem to be getting crazier and crazier, and if you stop to think about it, there's really a lot to be fearful of. But with the Lord, He delivers us from those fears. And He gives us, in place of any kind of fear, in place of it, a courage to face anything, to go through anything. And so I would like to speak to that here. So I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to read this text, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into it. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Well, Father, we do just thank you that you are a great God, that you're a loving God and a gracious God and a powerful God. Lord, we thank you for the promises that you have made to your people. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us the faith to grab onto those promises, Lord. That, Lord, not only just this coming year, but Lord, the trajectory of our life until you return, Lord, would be that of stepping out by faith and not being vexed by fear, but Lord, that we would be people that have courage in this life. So I pray, Lord, that you would just use my words, Lord, as we look a little deeper into this subject. To encourage our hearts, we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Now, I grew up in Colorado, the state in America. Colorado's like one of the mountain states. And my parents put me on this this bus that would take us up to the ski hill every Saturday. And they started me on this at a very young age, at 5 years old. I can't even imagine that. I had crazy parents, I guess. And they'd send me up the hill, and we'd have our instructor, and he would teach us how to ski. And I'm doing this over the winter, the winter season, doing this every week, going up to the mountains about an hour and a half away. And all of us were wanting to do this one run. It was like the steepest run on the mountain. Now, on these ski hills, they give each run a name that sort of describes what kind of run it is. This run was called Outhouse in American. It's called Outback Dunny here, but it's called Outhouse. And so you can imagine, finally, at the end of the day, we convinced our instructor to take us because we were saying, Outhouse, Outhouse. Okay, if you want to do it. We got to the edge of the mountain, and now we know why we called it Outhouse. Because I needed one right then, you know. And something that we were geared up to do, it seemed like something very exciting and to challenge us. When we were actually at the brink of doing it, we were filled with fear. Have you ever faced anything like that? If you're a surfer and, man, it looks so good on TV and those guys, you know, going through the tube and you're like, I want to do that. And you paddle out and that big, you know, wave comes and, you know, you need an outhouse. You know, but it's a good thing you don't need when you're in the ocean, right? But have you ever been, I mean, you see guys skydive or you know, do these crazy things. And you aspire to it, but when you're actually standing at the edge of the airplane, that's when fear can grip your heart. That's kind of like what's going on with Joshua and the people. And the promises are there, but now they're standing at the brink. And so have you noticed here how many times God tells Joshua, three times, that, does God need to tell you things more than once? He needs to tell me things more than once very often. And he's getting across to Joshua to be strong and courageous because I think at this moment, he's not. He's not. He needs the Lord to speak to him. So they're entering the promised land. And this was God's plan for the people of Israel. You know, Brian mentioned, we don't have to wait for the Lord to return to experiencing the refreshing, streams of refreshing from him. And I think a lot of us, we don't fully understand the implications of what the promised land means in the scripture, why it's there. You know, the whole Exodus, when God brought his people out of Egypt, they were slaves in Egypt. And it's a historical fact, and it's how God, his narrative of redemption and with the nation of Israel. But it's also a picture of our salvation. Because at one time, we were slaves to sin. We were in bondage, and God sent Jesus to take us out of our slavery and to deliver us through the water. And it's a picture of our salvation, that Exodus, that time that when God used Moses. And he raised up one greater than Moses, Jesus Christ, to rescue us and all humanity. But the promised land is a picture of the Christian life. And I find that a lot of believers think that maybe the promised land, all the blessings of God, are it's something out there. It's something when I get to heaven, that the heaven is the promised land, and I want to get to that place. But do you know that the gospel teaches us and what Jesus Christ has done for us, that the promised land is something that he wants you as a child of God to step into right now? The full blessings of God right now. The riches of his grace. Just, you know, maybe tonight read Ephesians chapter 1. God has all of these blessings for you right now. And when we understand that, that's the secret of living a courageous life. Grabbing a hold and understanding and allowing the implications of the grace of God to define us. and it's all there for us. But when we talk about biblical courage, we might think, well, aren't some people just kind of fearless types of people? There's certain personalities that run into battle, or they just do crazy things. But when you look at it in the scriptures, faith and courage are essentially the same thing. Check this out in Revelation chapter 21. It's at the end of it all, and it says there, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the moral persons, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all the liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and the cowardly. You're saying, wait a second, and the cowardly lumped in with all these cases here? Because when you understand biblical courage, it's not that just some people are built to be more courageous. It's biblical courage is the same as faith. Essentially the same thing. Courage and faith are essentially the exact same thing. So I want to go through 5 points of overcoming our fear, or taking a look at fear as we look a little further here in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look into some other scriptures as well. But first of all, fear and faith are mutually exclusive. Mutually exclusive. You can't have fear and faith existing at the same time. It's impossible. We either have faith or we're filled with fear. See, courage is a godly moral character trait. Courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is the triumph over fear. It's the most often repeated command in all of Scripture is what? Fear not, more than any other command. And everyone has fears, certain kinds of fears. There's fear of rejection, fear of death. You know, there's fear of public speaking. Some of you would rather die than be up here than doing what I'm doing, right? There's all kinds of fears that people have. But do you know what's underneath most of the fears? And I find this true of myself, is the fear of failure. The fear of failure, I think, is a fear that it daunts the toughest man. it vexes every person, because we don't want to fail. You know, and that, I think that about Joshua. He doesn't want to fail, and so God tells him 3 times, "Be strong and very courageous," and He tells him reasons that he can be strong and courageous. Verse 5, I won't leave you. I'll never leave you. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. Now, God is making that promise to Joshua. He makes that promise to us. Isn't that amazing? If you have the fear of rejection or the fear of abandonment, we have a God that says, I will never, no, never abandon you. And so some of us, we have fears to get into relationships because we've had a bad experience, we've been abandoned or rejected, and so now we carry that fear into our interpersonal life, you see? But the cure for that, and this is it as an example, is that when we understand the grace of God and the love of God, that He will never leave me or forsake me, if I have that, I can take that now into any relationship, because I'm getting the courage from Him, from the one where it really matters. Amen? So He's the source. God is the source of that courage, and He wants Joshua to know it. He says here, observe with the, don't turn to the right or the left. Observe with the intent of doing My word. Don't turn to the right or to the left. And that's God's covenant with His people. He basically said, you don't need a king. You don't need a general. I will provide for you. I will bless you. All you have to do is listen to Me and trust Me and follow Me. That's it. That's the covenant that God had with His people. And so they're ready to step into the promised land. And I believe that's you know, as we read this about Joshua, that's exactly through Christ what God wants you to learn this year. To step into all that Christ has for you. To take that step of faith. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He's just saying, just follow me, just obey me. And the reason we don't is I find that we turn to things that are safe places. We all have different safe places. He says, here's my word. Do what I tell you to do. Don't turn to the right, to the left, because all of us tend to turn to the right or to the left. We're following God, but this little bright little shining object is right over here, and it looks so good. That's going to make me happy right over here. Or that looks so comfortable. We're creatures of comfort. I used to have a dog named Sammy when we used to live in Colorado. And Sammy, I could always know what time it was because where he was in the yard. Because he'd follow the sun. As the sun would go and the shadows would shift, you know, if he's over here, he's following the sun. He's like this canine sundial, right? And we're kind of like that. We gravitate to what's comfortable. And so we have our security blankets. We have our comfort zones. We have our life rafts. And we tend to cling to those things to make it through a scary world. When we find ourselves in places where our resources are exceeded, we reach out to something that's comfortable because it's not comfortable being in that position. Have you ever been to an engagement where everybody in the room has PhDs and multiple PhDs, and you come in and it's like, what am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? See, academically, your resources are exceeded, and so it's a scary thing to step into. Or you go out on the footy field, and there's some big, you know, huge guys, and they're like, hey, let's play. And you're like, no. Because you're sizing up the competition, and you're saying, my resources are exceeded, therefore fear fills my heart. And I found that that's true in my life, that our fears surround those things that we make our security blankets. The things that we cling to when life gets hard. There's another word that the Bible uses for those things, and it calls them idols. Idols are not necessarily, biblically, not necessarily evil things in and of themselves, and let me explain. Idols can be good things that we make the ultimate thing. And the key to a courageous life is when the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate thing in your life. Because we can take anything and it's good in and of itself. Money is not evil. Money is a neutral commodity. It can be used for good or evil. The Bible doesn't say money's evil. The Bible just says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so we can take something that's neutral in and of itself, but when it becomes our security blanket for life, we've taken something that's good and can be used for the good, and now we've made it the ultimate. And so our greatest fear then, you can follow the logic, losing all your money, if that's your security blanket. Relationships are good. God designs relationships. We're designed to be in relationship with one another. We're designed to have companions. But if we make that relationship the ultimate thing, a good thing, in and of itself, wonderful, blessing, friendship, marriage, but if that becomes the ultimate thing, then we don't live in freedom. We live in fear, because the fear of losing that which is ultimate, you see. We tend to cling to the things that are our security blankets. So if it's money, children, success, looks, our reputation, if that's what makes us feel secure, your fears are attached to whether you have enough of these things. And really, when you look at it, most of our fears are just simply a mistrust in God. We believe that if we clung completely to him, he might let us down. He wouldn't come through. Actually, if we believe that he would always come through and he'd never leave us or forsake us, then that we'd be a complete person. And you want to know how to find the things that you cling to in your mistrust with God? Follow your fears. What are you afraid of? Because our fears will lead us to our idols, to our security blankets, the things we cling to bring comfort through this difficult world. But they're temporal. They're all temporal things. And they keep us, they hold us back from truly entering into the promised land, into the blessedness that God wants you to experience in his grace and in his love and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to truly live a life of courage. And all of those blessings are for you. What if I've got three children, I've got two grandchildren. What if I brought I just saw my grandson in Sydney, lives in, my both grandsons live in Sydney. I took him to the toy store and I said, look at all these great trains and cars and there's some stuffed animals, and he's looking at them. We're in there for a while. And I said to him, you can't have any of it. What kind of person would I be, right? See, that's not the heart of the Father. See, Satan said in the garden, you can't completely trust God, can you? So you need to take matters in your own hands. See, that lie is still the same lie today. There's nothing new under the sun. So what do? We cling to our security blankets. And they're different for all of us. My fears are different from your fears, because our security blankets, our comfort zones that we cling to, vary among us. So we're all in the same condition, you see. Secondly, fear is to refuse to honor God and see him as he is. I want to read a connecting scripture here to what's going on here with Joshua. Back in Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. It says, so let me set it up. So before they enter, Moses is still alive. Joshua and Caleb are sent in to spy out the land. They want to check it out. And they go in and they come back with these glowing reports of the grapes and the abundance, and this truly is the land flowing with milk and honey. It's the promised land. Joshua and Caleb are like, hey, let's go in and take it. And the rest of the spies that went in with Joshua and Caleb said, you know, there's giants in the land. There's big guys. There's big people. And they would squash us like a bug if we went in there. And Joshua and Caleb, they had faith. Remember, fear and faith are mutually exclusive, right? They had faith. So they're thinking, well, we have God. He'll squash them like a bug, right? It's all a matter of perspective, you see. So the other spies that were filled with fear, the people voted and they said, we're not going in yet. And they were stricken with fear. And so God spoke to Moses, and he's dealing with his people in Numbers 14:11. He said, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Now let me unpack that, because there's a few things in there. We see, first of all, fear is to refuse to honor God and see him as he is. See, when we're afraid of something, we're more afraid of that instead of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of the Lord or afraid of God. It's having such a deep awe and reverence and respect for who God is that he's the ultimate. That's what the fear of the Lord is. See, when we fear, what we are really saying is God is a small thing comparatively. He is smaller than this thing. And so we refuse to honor him. And so that's why God said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? Third point, fear is a form of insanity. What makes you an insane person? Right? What would be a definition? You're out of touch with reality. That'd be a pretty good definition, right? If you think that, you know, if when you're out of touch with reality, if you think you're the best, you know, you want to play, you know, with the best team, the best footy team, or you want to, you don't even know how to surf and you want to go out when the waves are huge. You know, you're out of touch with reality. You say, that guy's insane, right? And so it is with fear. Fear is being out of touch with reality. You're not thinking straight. You're not thinking right. You know, that's why in Matthew 6, Jesus was speaking with them. He says, why are you anxious? Why are you worried? He's wanting them to think about it. I mean, look at the birds of the air. I mean, my heavenly Father provides for them. How much more is God going to provide for you? Look at the lilies of the field. Look how the beauty of how God puts on them. And yet, how much more does God love you and will clothe you? And he's reasoning with his disciples. And he's saying, why are you worried? You're not thinking in reality. And we could even say that fear is an absence of thinking rightly. Thinking in reality. Because in reality, God is the most powerful. He's the most in control. Fourthly, fear is forgetting the power of our own salvation. We forget the power. See, in verse 5 of Joshua 1, it says here, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. He's saying, I was with Moses. I split the Red Sea. I brought the plagues upon Pharaoh. I delivered you miraculously. I did miracle after miracle. I provided for you in the wilderness. I did all these things because I love you. You're my people. As I did this for Moses, I will do this for you. But fear is forgetting the power that God has done previously. And that's why he says that in Numbers. How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? And what he's saying is, look, I delivered you out of Egypt. I'm not going to leave you hanging here at the promised land. I've rescued you. I've delivered you out of darkness and sin. I've saved you. I've put my spirit in you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're in the family of God. And I'm not going to drop you off now at this point in your life. God is saying, you know what? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Why, you know, why would he give us the car and begrudge us the keys? You see. And see, when fear enters in, we forget. A lot of it's just forgetting. I highly recommend writing down those, when God just comes through. You know those times you've been praying and praise the Lord, he comes through to document those things and go back to those things. To remind yourself of how faithful the Lord has been to you. Do you think that he's brought you this far to leave you here now? Absolutely not. I think of Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us some things? All things. So last point. Fear is overcome through understanding grace. Fear is overcome not by you trying harder, trying not to be fearful. It's by truly understanding the heart of God for you, the love of God for you. See, in verse 6 in Joshua 1, he says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. That land, the promised land, and God's blessing, they're a gift from him to you. They were not cheap, these blessings. They were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. But they're free to you, the blessings of God. If you look at the history of Israel, they didn't do anything to deserve this promised land. And if you know anything about me, I didn't do anything to deserve these blessings of God. I've failed far more than I've succeeded. And yet God keeps giving and blessing with his grace, because it's all his grace. It's unmerited favor. And he's saying, enter in. This is my gift to you, Israel. This is my gift to you, Joshua. It's God's favor. Just as God's favor was on Moses, God is saying, my favor is on you. And it's been about grace. It is about grace, and it's going to continue to be about grace. It's all his grace. I think of another great passage on this subject in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul writes to Timothy, and in 2 Timothy was the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. And so these are sort of the final words of the Apostle Paul. And he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When that fear comes in, it's not from him. That should make it easy to recognize. See, Paul is encouraging Timothy to remain public with his faith. Basically, it's not a time to run and hide, but it's a time to stand and proclaim. That word there, free, in the Greek, it's a dileia, and it speaks of a cowardice or a timidity. So he tells him that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, a sound mind. But then he qualifies what that all means in the next verses. We usually read that one, but check out the next verse, verse 8 and 9. This is why we can have courage. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has, check this out, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. If I ask you a question, how did you become a Christian? Or if I asked anybody in church, if I polled 100 churches in Australia or in America, or it doesn't matter, and polled the congregation, how did you become a Christian? You might get reactions like, well, I've really worked hard at this. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I try to do the right thing. I'm a church member. I've done all of these things. That might be one reaction, and it would be completely understandable. See, a religious person does not believe that their salvation is a miracle, and that's the difference. When you know that your salvation and your calling is a miracle of God's grace, that's when we lose our fears. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. He's saying this whole apostleship, this whole calling, this holy calling, everything that I have done, God has enabled me, not by any of my works or nothing I've done. This is all God's grace at work in my life. And so it is for me, Timothy. It will be for you as well. And the reason you cannot be fearful and you can be courageous, young Timothy, because I won't be with you forever, is because God is a gracious God to you. And your salvation is by his grace. Your calling is by his grace. When he sees us through difficult times, it's all his grace. If we live like we need to earn God's favor, we will live a life dominated by fear. We need to understand that we cannot do, we've done nothing to earn his favor, but it's given to us freely because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's all his grace. If you are a self-righteous person, you believe you have gotten where you are, you have what you have on the basis of your own resources. So because of that, whenever you're in a situation where you don't have the resources to pull it off, we say in America, you chicken out. You're fearful. But then you say, if God has brought me this far by his grace, will he keep me out of Canaan? And you have to remind yourself, just like Paul did with Timothy, if you're going to grow in courage. You know, Jesus was the most courageous man that ever lived. Now, he didn't fail at the cross, but think about it. He died the death of a criminal. He in a sense, failed socially to make me one of his kids of royalty. He died the death. It was the most lowly way that you could die. So if I'm afraid of failure, I'm out of touch with God's grace for me. He lost everything. He was rejected by man. Here's the foundational principle here, what I'm getting at. We need to always be working on our Canaans. What I mean, the promised land, the land of Canaan. We've all got our Canaans. Do I live by my performance or by the grace and calling of Jesus Christ? For those of you who are in ministry, do I serve? Do I do the ministry through my abilities and performance, or is it solely through the grace and calling of Jesus Christ? What if God is calling me to fail? So what? So what? I have his love. I have heaven. I have his kindness. He's going to use it for something good in my life. He's going to shape my character. He's got something better in store than that. I can't lose because I have his grace. Now that's how you live a courageous life. That's how you have the fortitude in your character to step out by faith, because even if you fail, so what? I've got him, and he has me, and he'll never leave me or forsake me, and he'll use it for the best. See, my worthiness is not in my success, and the reason that I am scared is because I have held on to my security blankets, my life rafts, and I am free now from the fear of failure. It's not good enough to say, don't think about the word banana. Don't think about the word banana. Don't think about the word banana. What word are you not supposed to think about, right? Banana, right? See, and it's you got to get to the root. It's not enough to just say, don't be scared. See, you get to the root. It's a forgetting that we are saved by grace, and then we repent from that, whatever we're clinging to. And we follow our fears to that, and we go, you know what? This is too important. This might be a good thing in my life, but it's controlling my life. It's keeping me from stepping into all that God has for me. And we follow it and we deal with it. It's not about, God, I'm sorry for being a coward. We follow our fears to our idols. See, do you see now courage and faith are essentially the same thing? So I pray for us this year. I'm going to pray here in a moment, but that we go into this year with an awareness of his favor on our lives. You can do nothing to earn his favor. It's been done for you. If you're in Christ, you're positioned in his righteousness. He's relating to you as if he's relating to his own son, Jesus Christ. He took our sin, and Jesus He bore all of our sin and the penalty for our sins. That's called forgiveness. It's something that he took away. He took our sin and the penalty for our sin, and he paid the death for it. Then he rose again and conquered the power of sin. A lot of us have forgiveness, but some of us don't. It's only half the gospel. Forgiveness is only, praise God for forgiveness. My sins are forgiven. The debt has been canceled, amen? But that's only half of it. Not only has he taken your sin, but he has put on you the full righteousness of Christ. That's called justification. That's the gospel. Justification is we're always trying to dull it down because it's too good to be true. That the same approval that Jesus Christ, his son, has with the Father, you have that same approval with the Father if you are in Christ. You don't have to earn it. You have it already in Christ. Now, if you have that, That'll put a kick in your step and go out in there. If you feel socially awkward, who cares? You already have the approval of the one that it really matters, and it lasts forever. The same acceptance that Jesus the Son has with the Father, the Heavenly Father. If you are in Christ, you have the same acceptance with the Father by the one that it really matters. That's what gives us courage in this life. When we have that, when we have Him, we have anything. And when we have Him, we can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great, amazing grace. We thank you that we have everything that we need in you. And Lord, we thank you for our spouses and our children and our parents and our pastors and friends. But they can't save us. Only you can save us, and only you have saved us. We thank you for the blessings, Lord, you know, in America and Australia, the monetary blessings that we count from you, Lord, but they can't save us. Only you can save us. So, Lord, we just take that fear and we follow it and we just want to repent, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are a trustworthy God, that you never, ever will fail us. And if we ever doubt it, all we have to do is look at the cross. If you would do that when I was running from you and rebelling against you, there's nothing you can't do. So thank you for reminding us of your love, Lord, and your promises. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us the faith to step into the promised land. Lord, to step into all the riches and resources and blessings of your grace this coming year. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.